Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo said shrimp for domestic and international market in great demand. Minister Arief Yahya proposes Banyuwangi as UNESCO Global Geopark. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo said that shrimp for both domestic and international market is in great demand, so this business opportunity needs to be expanded well by shrimp farmers. This was stated by President Joko Widodo when attending the shrimp harvest in Muara Gembong, Bekasi Regency, West Java on Wednesday. As reported by Antara, the president explained that initially the market was aimed domestically and subsequently to meet export demand due to many requests from abroad. He also pointed out that the development of shrimp at Muara Gembong began in November 2017. Majestic Banyuwangi Festival 2018 will perform 99 and top 3 events that include in the 100 events Wonderful Indonesia. The performances aim at increasing tourist visit and setting Banyuwangi as the best city in Indonesia. Minister Tourism Arief Yahya, in his welcoming speech at Banyuwangi calendar event launch at Saptapesona Building at Indonesian Tourism Ministry in Jakarta, said that besides the festival, the best way to attract tourists is by setting Banyuwangi as the UNESCO Global Geopark.
Nah, kalau udah ada UNESCO Global Geopark, untuk attract 1 juta wisatawan mancanegara itu relatively mudah. Dan untuk mendapatkan UGG,
if there has been UNESCO Global Geopark or UGG to attract 1 million tourists, it is relatively easy. And to get UGG is not easy. But it is more difficult if Indonesia does not have it. Therefore, Banyuwangi must fight to obtain UGG, and it has been National Geopark. The question is whether we want to build world main class destination. So the attraction must be world class. Common people will say, who says Banyuwangi is the world class? So the certification of UNESCO is the strong brand for the world, including Borobudur, which obtained certifications from UNESCO. Thus it is easy for Indonesia to promote it. Then Banyuwangi must have world-class attractions, and it must be acknowledged by UNESCO.
Borobudur yang dapat certified dari UNESCO, mudah kita menjualnya. Angkor Wat mudah menjualnya. Jadi itu agar Banyuwangi mempunyai atraksi kelas dunia, dan itu dikatakan oleh institusi kelas dunia. Dia adalah UNESCO.
Banyuwangi has world-class natural tourism destination called Kawah Ijen, which is popular with blue fire, Baluran National Park, and Jilan Beach, which is loved by foreign tourists. Geographically, Banyuwangi is close to Bali, and it makes Banyuwangi easier to go international. For the first time, the Financial Transaction Reports and Analysis Center, OJK, as an Indonesian financial intelligence institution, was chosen as the host of the annual meeting of the Ekman Working Group. Ekman Working Group is an international organization that brings together the financial intelligence units throughout the world. Head of the Financial Transaction Reports and Analysis Center, Ki Agus Ahmad Badarudin, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that through the annual meeting of the Ekman Group, Indonesia hoped to enhance its major role in preventing money laundering.
Jadi, Indonesia ingin meningkatkan perannya di dunia internasional.
So Indonesia wants to enhance its major role in the international world in terms of prevention and eradication of money laundering and counter-terrorist financing. Besides, we are also trying to put our officials in international organizations to increase their international exposure.
Di organisasi internasional untuk meningkatkan eksposur internasionalnya.
The Ekman Group annual meeting took place in Jakarta from 28 to 30 January. Ki Agus Ahmad Badarudin said this meeting was attended by 300 participants from 89 countries. In addition, this meeting was also attended by a number of international organizations that have a common interest in the prevention and eradication of criminal acts of terrorism funding throughout the world. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, in Jakarta. Chairman of Eggman Group, Henny Verbeek-Kusters, in Jakarta on Wednesday emphasized the importance of international cooperation in a bid to fight against money laundering and transnational terrorism fund. He also said that Eggman Group is appointed to fight against the crime. Both money laundering and transnational terrorism tend to facilitate the crime in the world.
What I really always like to stress is why it is so important, the work that we do. If we look at the threats that our societies face today, terrorism, transnational crimes, organized and serious crimes, then I have to stress that all these crimes are facilitated by money laundering and terrorism financing. And that is in the core mandate of the Egmont Group to fight. And since all these crimes are transnational, in essence, no single agency, no single business, or no single organization or jurisdiction can do it by itself. We need one another to really fight it strongly.
Moreover, Henny Verbeek-Kusters appreciated the role of Indonesia through Indonesian Financial Transaction Reports and Analysis Center, PPATK. He also said that the reports has become a part of Financial Intelligence Unit under Eggman Group, and since it was incorporated in 2004, PPATK has played a major role in fighting against money laundering and terrorism fund in the region. And he also pointed out that Indonesia, along with Australia, has consistently held meeting of Contra for Terrorism Fund since 2015. Henny added that the efforts has contributed in overcoming money laundering and terrorism fund, obviously, in the region. Minister of Agriculture Andi Amran Sulaiman released export of 8,160 tons of coconut flour from Gorontalo to China, Taiwan, Hamburg, Germany, and Rotterdam, Netherlands. This export value reaches $8.16 million. He appreciated the coconut from Gorontalo province, which has penetrated 82 countries since 2018 until exports were released on Wednesday. As quoted by Antara, the minister also pointed out in Gorontalo on Wednesday that the flour is produced from coconut cultivated by the community and processed to be exported by PT Royal Coconut as many as 3,744 tons and PT Tri Tunggal with 4,416 tons. Minister Amran also said that Indonesia is the world's largest coconut producers with productions in 2018 reaching 19 million tons, while in 2014 coconut productions was only 1.3 million tons. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro is ready to hold dialogue with his country's oppositions. The president also hopes for mediations by the third country. As quoted by Republica Online, President Maduro gave a number of comments in an interview with the Russian news agency RIA in Caracas, Venezuela, on Wednesday. Regarding the possibility of mediations, the third country in the dispute, President Nicolas Maduro said that there are several governments and mass organizations that show their sincere concern about what is happening in Venezuela and they appeal for dialogue to take place. The Indonesian government should establish a national legal instruments for the basis of implementing the United Nations Security Council UNSC resolutions. As quoted by Antara News Agency Director General for Legal Affairs and International Treaties, Damos Domolia Guzman said on Wednesday, that Indonesia needs to establish a national instrument as the legal basis for implementing international organizations' decisions that can strengthen Indonesia's role, which is currently a non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council. The statement was delivered at the opening of the expert meeting of the preparation of the basic framework of national regulations on the implementation of the UN Security Council resolution, which took place in Surabaya, East Java, on Tuesday. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular commentary. Well, today's topic is urgency to repass regulation number 39-2017 concerning the single presence policy. Financial Services Authority, OJK, will revise regulation number 39-2017 about single bank ownership or single presence policy. Based on the regulation, each party can only become a controlling shareholder of one bank. The ownership of two banks can be done if one of them is a mixed bank or a bank with Sharia principles. If the controlling shareholders of a bank wants to take over another bank, he or she is obliged to choose one option through mergers, parent information in the banking or holding function. This regulation aims to encourage banks to compete in Indonesia and abroad. Many banks in Indonesia are difficult to compete because they have little capital. There are still a large number of banks with little capital in Indonesia. The number of commercial banks in Indonesia currently reaches 115 banks. Although it has experienced a significant decline from the previous 250 banks, the number of 150 banks is still too many. Indonesia is ranked first as the country with the highest number of banks in Southeast Asia. The large number of banks in Indonesia is caused by banking deregulation policy in the New Order era. During the New Order era, establishing a new bank only needed capital worth 10 billion rupiah. Since the stipulation of Regulation Number 39/2017, the number of banks is still stagnant at 115. This means that there are no banks that have emerged. Even if banks formed a parent company or merged, they will have a large capital and they are able to be competitive. Why aren't any small banks merging according to OJK regulation, even though the condition that bank is unable to compete? The factor of obligation to merge and the establishment of holding company are considered to be a barrier. Thus, the plan to revise the single presence policy is expected to provide flexibility for the controlling stakeholders of a bank to choose other options besides mergers and the establishment of holding company. If the OJK does not revise Regulation Number 39/2017, OJK needs to provide banking incentives. In addition, the OJK also needs to be firmer in encouraging banks to merge. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you in our good program Today in History. Well, we start from an event on January 31st, 1926. Nahdlatul Ulama NU is the largest Islamic organization in Indonesia. The organization moves in the educational, social, and economic sector. NU was established an awareness of students to struggle national dignity through education and organization. After coordinating with various clerics, finally there was an agreement of the clerics of boarding schools to establish organization, namely Nahdlatul Ulama, meaning awakening of the ulamas in Surabaya, East Java. Kyai Haji Hasyim Asy'ari was the first chairman of the organization. The next event was in 1958 on launching of Explorer 1. Explorer 1 was the first satellite, which was made by the United States. It was launched to the space on January 31, 1958 at Cape Canaveral Missile Annex, Florida. The launching of the satellite was considered as the most important moment because at the time the United States and Soviet Union competed in space technology. Soviet Union succeeded to launch the first satellite with the name Sputnik 1 on October 4, 1957. The Explorer 1 satellite that was launched by using Juno rocket was completed with various kinds of instruments such as cosmic ray detector, Hiller sensor, microphone to hear the sound of micrometeorite crashing into a satellite, and other instruments. The Explorer 1 satellite functioned for 4 months. By sending data to the Earth until all batteries were over and stopped to communicate on May 23, 1958. And the last event is that in 1961, a chimpanzee named Humped was launched into space. Humped was a chimpanzee from Cameroon and has become popular at the zoo in Florida at the United States. Finally, it was recruited by the U.S. Air Force to space experiment. When it was 3 years old, Humped was launched to the space on January 31, 1961 by using Project Mercury MR-2 space capsule, space aircraft special for primate. The name of Humped was taken of acronym Holloman Aerospace Medical Center in New Mexico, a place where it was trained before the launch. Humped is the best animal which survived in the space. The chimpanzee has a nickname Humped, the astrochimp. Humped's flight to space is the initial momentum for human exploration into space. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia, title, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs as the United Nations Security Council increasing response to the climate change impact. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi as the United Nations Security Council to increase the response and encourage effort to overcome the effects of climate change on international peace and security. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, in a written statement from the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, received in Jakarta on Saturday, January 26, said that climate change is a reality that is currently happening. The statement was conveyed by the Minister of Foreign Affairs in an open debate of the UN Security Council concerning the handling of climate change impact on international peace at the United Nations headquarters, New York, the United States, on Friday, January 25. Climate change is an important issue because based on research of the United Nations Population Fund, UNFPA, climate change in the next 100 years will cause the rising of sea level in Semarang. Minister Retno Marsudi also said that Semarang has the ability to adapt to the climate change impact, but many other cities and countries have not implemented, so that they will cause loss of community livelihoods, food vulnerability, loss of territory, and irregular migration. The foreign minister stressed the importance to developing the country's adaptive capacity to climate change. If it is not realized, the potential of threat toward international security is getting more greater. Minister Retno Marsudi furthermore added that there are 3 points related to the role of the UN Security Council in supporting effort to address the security impacts of climate change. Firstly, the UN Security Council must consolidate joint effort to tackle the security threats caused by climate change. Secondly, the approach to peacekeeping and peacebuilding must encourage synergy between security and development. Thirdly, the responsibility for mitigating and adapting on climate change is the responsibility of each country. In addition, according to the foreign minister, the role of regional organizations that are more active in handling disasters due to climate change, such as ASEAN for the Southeast Asia region, is also important. He said, ASEAN has strengthened the capacity of the ASEAN Humanitarian Aid and Disaster Management Center in the handling of coordinated natural disasters, One ASEAN, One Response. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hati yang kini mengagumi dirimu, paras membara menapis ke lampu. Pesona ketulusanku,
bidadari,
kau putih seputih hatimu,
bidadari,
bidadariku,
bidadari, bidadari,
bidadari.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we invite you to Bangka Belitung Province to visit Tikus Emas or Golden Red Beach. Bangka is one of the big islands in Bangka Belitung Islands Province, with its capital city of Pangkal Pinang. Although Bangka Island has long been known as the Tin City, the island also offers a variety of beautiful attractions, especially marine tourism objects, such as Tikus Emas or Golden Red Beach. It is located in Parit Pandang Sub-District, Sungai Liat, Bangka Regency. Emas Beach is located on the east of Sungai Liat, the capital city of Bangka Regency. You can take about 15 minutes from the downtown and about 1 hour if you're departing from Pangkal Pinang, which is about 36.1 kilometers. According to the story of the local community, it is called Tikus Emas Beach because it was once an area inhabited by mice. If the beach is seen from the hill, it really looks like a mouse. Entering Tikus Emas Beach, you will be charged 5,000 rupiah for parking fee of cars and 2,000 rupiah for motorbikes. This marine tourism object offers stunning views of the typical Bangka beach with its white sand, calm seawater, and pine trees on the beach. On the beach, you can play water, swimming, or fishing. There is also a mini off-road arena for toddlers. In addition, there are also train games, ball ponds, horse riding, as well as water sport. With only 200,000 rupiah fee, you can rent a jet ski to go around the beach for 15 minutes. With only 200,000 rupiah fee, you can rent a jet ski to go around the beach for 15 minutes. Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Tikus Emas Beach or Golden Red Beach. See you on the next topic. Goodbye.
Sejak kau beri salam yang mengganggu.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, welcome back to Miss Lenny. Today, we will bring you a topic about online fine arts exhibition. A fine arts exhibition will soon be held on social media. The exhibition is initiated by a businessman as well as journalist named Sokocho Hayat DP. The online fine arts exhibition entitled This Is My Work aims to help artists showcase their works so that they can be acknowledged by public. The theme This Is My Work represents the objective of the event, namely to provide detailed information about the artists who participate in the expo and their works. Sokocho Hayat DP said that the identities of the artists, such as their address, contacts, email address, complete CV and track records, would also be featured at the exhibition by informing about the details of the artists, art enthusiasts, including collectors, can keep being in contact with the artists easily. The online fine arts exhibition has more benefits than the exhibitions which typically take place at art expo center or gallery. The online one needs less time for preparation. It is also more economical. Besides, participants are not restricted by distance, age and locations. No matter how far they live, they can still demonstrate their creativity. Meanwhile, arts enthusiasts can access the exhibition anytime and anywhere. They only need smartphones and internet connection. Regardless of the time and space, the bonding between the artists and their arts enthusiasts can still be established. Participants' registration has opened from 21st January to 5th of February 2019. Each participant has to submit 2 photos of their works and their personal data. In addition to submitting their data and works, the participants must pay for the registration fee, which costs 50,000 rupiah per person. The exhibition will be held from 10th to 28th of February 2019. Visitors can access the exhibition from YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and online magazines. According to Sokocho Hayat, the online fine arts exhibition received positive responses from artists. Until January the 22nd, 50 participants have enrolled in the expo, both the 2D and the 3D artists. Listeners, that was Miss Lenny about online fine arts exhibition. See you on your next edition.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, it's nice to meet again at Music Corner for today. The musical information is entitled Bintang Bintang by Titi DJ. She is known as a singer, composer, and actress. Several works of Titi DJ are produced by Indra Lesmana. The relations became a beloved couple. However, their relations have also ended as a working partner. In 1995, the album of Bintang Bintang was released without intervention of Indra Lesmana. It is not strange that if the album of Titi feels different from her previous albums. As the successors, Erwin Gutawa, Andi Ayunir, and Adi Adrian, involved in making the album. Through the lyric, the song tells about a message that there will always be hope. Listener, here is the song by Titi DJ.
Voice of Indonesia.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at @voiindonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.